Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 21st of November, recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and starting with stock markets. Well, it was pretty much a sea of red. We had moderate selling, moderate to light selling in Asia, heavy selling in Europe, and fairly significant selling in the Americas as well, although that really applied only to the United States. S&P was down 1.86%. That other indices were close to that, but it pushed the S&P back down to 1193. Now, I notice Mexico bucked the trend here, showed a very small gain here, well, 0.5% gain today. Now, in long-dated government bond prices, we had strength, as you might expect, against that background of selling pressure. And I think that included a new high for the year by long-dated, by the JGBs, the 10-year Japanese government bonds. Now, the dollar was strong in here as well, basking in its safe haven status. The gold market was clipped, caught the contagion selling, and of course had the strong dollar headwind. And gold, as I speak, is down $46 and trading at just under 1678. Platinum fell $34 to 1554. Silver is down to 3170. Palladium down to 590. Industrial metals were also lower. Copper back down to 333 as I speak. The industrial metals were all mostly lower, led by copper. One exception was we had a small rise in LME nickel. Crude oil also a little bit weaker. We've got Brent down to 107, and we've got the WTI down to 97. Grain and bean complex lower across the boards as well. Well, so what's going on here? And what hit Europe and the States so much? Well, I think take the U.S. first, though this was known early on in the day. It's pretty well conceded that the U.S. so-called super committee of six Republicans and Democrats, each to find some sort of bipartisan agreement on deficit cuts, that's failed, and both sides are blaming each other. So those who have been concerned about the U.S. deficit reduction situation are going to remain extremely concerned. Now, we also have the ongoing worries about Europe, and that's, if anything, is intensified. And there's a growing consensus with which I agree that the ECB is going to have to step in to be the lender of last resort and the buyer of last resort. And I think everybody pretty much knows that, but Germany's reluctant to concede that without other terms being ironed out. You probably know all this, but it's just a long drawn out saga, and you've got 17 countries here that are the member states of the euro, and to reach agreements is not easy, especially when there was no game plan for this situation. So they're making policy on the hop. I think that they're moving quicker than the markets had dared to hope a couple of months ago, but it's not It's not quite quick enough here, so that remains a worry. And then another one, getting back to U.S. problems, is that a trustee who is looking into all the MF Global, I remember that's the commodity broking firm affairs that was bought out and run by John Corzine or Corzine. They're now estimating that there may be 1.2 billion of clients' monies that are compromised or that they're unable to trace. So that's nasty. I hasten to add that that's a provisional statement, and they say they don't know yet for sure, but they did let that information out, and the market didn't like that. And I think that contributed quite a bit to the selling pressure that we actually saw today in commodity markets and in just in stock markets generally. It just helped to sour the mood, and so we've seen quite a bit of deleveraging in here generally. And it's Sisyphusian, isn't it? If you know your Greek mythology, and I'm sure you do, where we see the stone gets the market stone gets rolled up the hill, and until it gets a little bit overextended or a lot overextended, and then it rolls back down the hill again. And we've been over this really for quite some time. If you go back to those August lows that we saw for the major indices, and we've seen the U.S. market move up and down and up and down, and that hasn't ceased yet here. So we'd also described, or I described, in October was a month that firmly belonged to the bulls, and November is about seeing how much of it's going to be given back. Well, the trouble is, in some of the major worry areas, a lot of it has been given back. Now, let's concentrate on these bank shares first. The UK banks index, that drifted down to a new low, or fell persistently to a new low for the year here today. So that's with shares such as Lloyds, RBS, that's Royal Bank of Scotland, Barclays, all looking particularly weak. The European banks index has fallen back and is closing in on its lows for the year. And U.S. bank indices only a little bit steadier. So that sector is still under pressure, and that further undermines confidence, as you know. And we put place great store in terms of what the banks are actually doing, and have often regarded them as a lead indicator. And this action is not at all favorable here right now. Now, what's required in terms of the major indices? The U.S., where the leash effect has been really quite favorable up until recently, as we've seen, we saw a sharp fall last week and carrying on here again today. Now, a lot of these indicators, well, in the midst of all this bearish sentiment, we have to be careful, because a lot of these indices have very quickly moved from a short-term overbought condition, which we saw at the end of October, to a short-term oversold condition, which we see right now. Now, we can stay oversold and of course become more oversold, so what's actually required? And that would be upward dynamics, and to break the momentum of this self-feeding decline that we're actually seeing. Now, the US indices have a little bit of breathing space, but the bank indices that I just talked about do not. in here, and a number of the Asian indices are not doing all that well. So in terms of catalysts here, something has to happen. Something needs to take place in Europe that really does improve sentiment more than on a 24-hour basis. And something needs to happen in the U.S. situation, which similarly improves sentiment. And in Asia, we've got India testing its range lows for the year, and China has been slipping back as well. So there's not a lot of confidence around here right now. So what's to like? Well, I say we have a short-term oversold condition. We have seen the autonomies. Those are those quasi autonomous multinational companies that are leveraged to the growth economy. They've been really doing quite well, as you know. They're vulnerable in an environment like this, and some of those have pulled back to potential initial support levels or pulled back to their rising 200-day moving averages. But investors will want to see those levels hold here, and that remains to be seen. But what's to like, I say, other than some short-term oversold indicators and what has been that superior performance of the autonomies throughout this sell-off to date? Monetary policy remains accommodative, although Asia is the odd man out on that, in the sense that Asia had a genuine tightening of monetary policy, and we've only just begun to see a little bit of relaxation in those policies. But there's nothing like a stock market sell-off to concentrate the minds of and a commodity market sell-off, I should say, more importantly, to concentrate the minds of those central bankers and perhaps shift them along. But in terms of technical action, we have a self-feeding decline underway, and this is eroding support levels for a number of indices, and we need to see some upward dynamics to check that action. And we will know it when we see it, but I'd be cautious in here until we do see some evidence of that demand returning once again. So we're in this same tough, volatile situation that we've been in for a number of months. The other point that they could also mention is that these sell-offs, each one of these sell-offs, tends to improve valuations a little bit more. And so there are a number of valuations that are really quite attractive. And if you have cash to spend, we do still like those. In particular, we like those higher-yielding dividend aristocrat multinationals, leading multinational company, the autonomies, in other words, with the better yields. And I think that the time to buy those is not to chase rallies such as we saw in October, but to pick them up as the market is coming back down, as we're seeing right now. If you feel it's all a little bit too worrying and prefer to sit in cash, well, there's nothing wrong with that either in this environment. Now, long-dated government bond prices benefiting from this weakness in stock markets, and they will continue to do so. So yields going down, bond prices going up. As equities weaken, I think those bond markets will continue to take their cue from stock markets. And currently, as I say, the weakness of equities is pushing more money into the fixed interest sector. The US dollar is very much the safe haven currency during a stock market sell-off. We've seen that before. That support for the dollar vanishes quickly when you get a rally. The dollar was quite weak in October, but it strengthened a lot more in here right now. And interestingly, a number of those Asian currencies have been among the weakest. India is one of them with the weaker currencies, with the weaker among the weaker currencies. And that all suggests that deleveraging is continuing and that Western investors in particular are pulling money, bringing money back home. U.S. investors in particular, I should say. The commodity markets were still in that reset process. I mean, we saw some very sharp rallies in October, as you know, and they do very often move in line with stock markets. But a lot of those gains have been retraced and more here recently. Gold, I'd like to see gold stay above the $1,600 level. I think that's where its 200-day moving average crosses. Now, the point overall here is that the gold market's not going to be concerned with what I'd like to see. It's going to consolidate in this environment with a little bit of vulnerability during periods of dollar strength and when stock markets are particularly weak. They tend to go together. And that does create a headwind and is susceptible to some contagion selling, as we've actually seen. But it's still above its rising 200-day moving average. And as chart patterns go overall, it's one of the best. It looks like an autonomy, which got overextended back in August and September and has been consolidating gains ever since. The other precious metals are behaving more like industrial metals and look weaker overall. The most important commodity reset to see is that of the oil prices. And we've got some respite following the strength that we'd seen into the end of October and early November. So that's pretty much it. And the bears still in charge. All the best.